guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, so a lot of Liverpool fans are eagerly awaiting the start of next season so they can see their brand new signing that they signed last summer. The Naby Keita situation is slightly unusual, but he promises to be a huge, huge figure for Liverpool Football Club. Now, we haven't heard too much from him, but one lady who's been to meet him and has written just a brilliant piece about his background and how he got to where he is with RB Leipzig is Melissa Reddy from Goal.com. Let's have a chat with her. Morning, Mel.
Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, so you got the chance to head out and sit down with Naby and just sort of get to the bottom or get inside of his head about how he got to becoming the most expensive African footballer of all time. Where did you meet?
I went to Leipzig to conduct the interview. Quite an arduous journey because when it was finally decided that I would be doing the interview, which obviously took a lot of elbow grease to get it over the line.
Absolutely.
There were no direct flights to Berlin from Liverpool, so I had to go Liverpool to Dublin to Berlin, train to Leipzig, and do the reverse journey back, but it was worth it. We met at the Steigenberger Hotel in Leipzig, which is generally, I think, where if he's got anything in the city centre or when the team have anything planned, they tend to book conference rooms in there. So it was somewhere he was familiar. And all the work building up to it was completely worth it in the end.
So a rather plush environment, which you'd expect from a top level footballer in Germany, which is a far cry from where he started kicking a ball about in Guinea. And he went right back to the beginning with you, didn't he?
Yeah, just an incredible story. And I think, you know, so much of his story and his struggle and how hard he had to work to elevate himself reminds me of Sadio Mane. So it's no, coincidence that they've got such a strong relationship managed by the same agency. And when you hear how much he's had to do to get to where he is, I think it gives you a greater appreciation of the player and also his attitude, and it gives you a glimpse as well of how much he could go on to achieve because of all the sacrifices and what he had to endure. And I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk recently about the amount of red cards he gets, and when you look back at his story, the fact that he was playing on the streets of Guinea and getting bumped by cars because there are no football pitches or designated areas where he could play. And so anywhere there would be an open space, which was often the road, the makeshift roads in his village, is where him and his friends would end up playing. And, you know, the thing is, when a car bumped you, you had to keep going because it was so competitive and everyone wanted to keep a hold of the ball, especially him, that you'd do what you needed to do in possession and then you'd look back and kind of recognize which car hit you. So, yeah, he's got very little can deter him. And even growing up in Guinea, he always had these massive aspirations. And he would say to people, you know, I want to be a footballer. I can be a footballer. I can play in Europe. I can be in the Champions League. And people would look at him as though he was crazy because it's such a big jump from, you know, the village in Conakry he's from to, you know, to Europe itself, but let alone, you know, playing in the Champions League.
So there's an aggression to his play, and that's very much spelt out within your article as well. Are the two things directly linked? Is it because he's always had to be a fighter to get to where he's got to?
Yeah, absolutely that. I think for his position as well, and given his slight frame, you know, when you look at him, he's very, very little, and you expect him to be a pushover or you expect that you can easily win possession off him, but you actually can't. And that, you know, that's the aggressive edge he has in his game. And I think what we've seen at the start of this season is opponents starting to play on it more. The second yellows he's received, even the first yellows he's received, sometimes seem quite soft. But if you play on it, and I think he's now realizing that people are trying to use that to their advantage, the opposition, and he's reined that in a bit or been cuter with it. Mm. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, when you hear him speak about things, and I made it a point to bring up the aggression. He said everything he's ever had, he's had to absolutely, you know, roll up his sleeves and battle for. And that's how he's going to be on the pitch as well.
All these sorts of barriers to get over, including some people telling him he wasn't good enough. So what did he say about actually making the breakthrough to a high level of professional football?
Yeah, I think that was the major thing. It's ridiculous because 6 years ago, when he went on trial in France, the coaches were telling him, you're so technically gifted, but tactically, you're bankrupt. You just don't understand. You've got no intelligence in terms of positioning or, you know, defensive duties and systems. And now he's a multifunctional midfielder. He's an offensive midfielder as well as a defensive one, you know, both in equal measure, which is very rare that you can be so effective in two positions. You know, even when you look at some of the players in the Premier League at the moment, Kante's an incredible destroyer, but he's not as good in the creative side off the game when he's on the ball. And for him to have achieved this in 6 years is unbelievable. And when he eventually got the opportunity to play in France, he maximized it every single opportunity he had. And then Salzburg came calling. And at the time, there were many other European clubs interested in him. But I think, you know, because of his frame and all these kind of things, they were scared to take the gamble. And it was actually Gerard Houllier who said to Salzburg, we absolutely have to get this player on board. He's got everything you need. He just needs, you know, he's a bit rough, but there's so much to work with and we should definitely get him. And because Salzburg have such a massive focus on development, he felt it was the right move as well. But then when he got there, he wasn't immediately starting. And that's where the relationship between him and Sadio developed, because, you know, as he says, Sadio was like a big brother to him, gave him so much advice, helped him with everything, because Nabi's French speaking. And so Sadio was basically his voice throughout that period, the one who explained things to him, just gave him a lot of support on the pitch and off the pitch. And then obviously from Salzburg, he's graduated to Leipzig. And, you know, there were still question marks over whether the step up to the Bundesliga would be a bit too much to him. But obviously in his debut season, he proved that absolutely wasn't the case. And I think those attributes, because he's been tracked for quite a long time, like I've said, by European clubs, but you always want the security, I think, when you're scouting, to know that a player is going to make the grade, and that he's continuously proved that, obviously has led to Liverpool and clubs like Barcelona knocking around him.
Yeah. He talked as well about his football loyalties. He was a Barca fan, wasn't he? But his mates were Liverpool fans. So
yeah.
Actually, him arriving at Liverpool Football Club, it's not through a love of Liverpool Football Club. Is it the club and Sadio Mane? What was the real draw to come to Liverpool for him?
I think there's a few things. One, he's a Barcelona fan primarily because he's dad nicknamed him Deco, and his father is actually a Liverpool fan. All the friends he grew up with and he played football with were Liverpool fans. And he himself, he said, you know, I really liked Liverpool, but I was a Barcelona fan because I was Deco.
His dad was a Liverpool fan though.
Yeah, yeah, his father was a massive, massive Liverpool fan. And, he, you know, Nabi says before he even knew what was, his father would always speak to him about the club. But I think the choice of Liverpool is a few things. One, he has a manager and a playing style which suits his ability so much, because, you know, Klopp does like flexible players, and that's something he definitely is. He's used to a high pressing system. The fact as well, yes, that Sadio Mane is there, so again, it will be an easier settling in period because he has somebody who understands the club, understands the area, again, can, you know, communicate all things to him and for him and help him with the process of adjustment again. It's also the fact that it's the Premier League, and again, it's the opportunity to test himself without, in a physical, fast-paced environment that suits his traits. And I think as well, the fact of how Liverpool took care of Sadio Mane when he came in, that also plays a part for players and their agents when they're assessing, you know, where they should send their players. And when Mane came over, Liverpool helped him hire a personal chef. They created a prayer room for him. You know, everything, all the help he needed with first getting an apartment when he came in and then sourcing his house, the due diligence around the area, all those kind of things. And I think when the agency, which is Arena 11, saw how Sadio was treated and they were thinking about, you know, where Naby could take the next stage of his career, it all just made sense.
I can't wait to see him play. It's a brilliant piece you've written there. If anyone hasn't seen it, log on to gold.com. Naby Keita is the story. It's an exclusive by Melissa. Well done on that one. It reads great, Mel.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that.
Take care. There's Melissa Reddy. As I say, if you've not seen it, have a read. It's a brilliant article. It's been out for a couple of weeks, but it's well worth looking at.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.